Good afternoon, wherever you are in the world, and welcome to this number 140 show of the Extinctionati. And today, because we don't want to trigger or provoke anyone, do we? We are going to talk about something small and insignificant. We're going to talk about January 6th. And with me, I have Karina Scharenberg from America, who is kind of in the country of topic. So we're going to just roll a video from January 10th of 2021 with our dear founder, Lord Yu. And then we are going to stop the film and, you know, comment as we go along. So let's try this. Are you ready, Karina?
Yes.
That's superb. Then we're going to roll film, as we say, over in Scandinavia.
All right, so today is January 10th, 2021, and we're going to continue our discussion on the Desiderata Extinctionati. In light of this week's events in the United States, we're going to have a full discussion on what happened in the United States with the people, the Trump supporters breaching the Capitol. I'm sure you guys know what happened, but it was it shocked everyone, especially in America. We didn't expect it. I would say that the left didn't expect that to happen. I mean, didn't see it coming. I'd like to know your perspectives, because it really was a shock for some people, maybe not for some.
Yeah, surprise here in Europe. People are just, well, in, I was in France a few days ago, and you know how they like to storm things and.
Yes.
Were they like, oh yeah. I didn't realize, you know, the French people I was talking with were talking about the beginning of a civil war, and some other people were talking about it was manipulated. Some other people were talking about nuclear war. I mean, that's what I was hearing in Europe. But you know, we're so far away from that sort of regime that I'm here in Ireland. All they talk about is COVID. So and Irish people worried about their families out there. You know. That's all I can say, because I'm just watching.
It's been quiet today. Has anybody seen any recent news, like in the past, you know, 8 hours?
No.
Did everybody see Michael Moore's? Did everybody see Michael Moore's video?
Yeah, I mean, this Michael Moore seems to be operating at a rather superficial level in his commentary there. I was sort of surprised. He was sort of talking as though he takes the system seriously. You know, that he believes that it really was a democracy in the first place anyway, and that, the seems seem to me to be taking the conventional line on American society and going, it's been damaged. I would have thought he'd managed something a little bit better than that. It's disappointing, really.
I think he's got to be careful. I think everybody has to be careful now. So, guys, I'm going to have to go out on a limb and just put my credibility on the line here, but I'm really reading this very badly, very, very badly. And I don't think the rest of the world is getting it. So you get to see my predictive abilities, because I think this will basically unravel really quickly over the next week. So I'll give you my interpretation, and you'll rapidly see whether I'm full of shit or not, because this is where the rubber meets the road. And if it doesn't, then you can say, Hugh, you're full of shit. We're not listening to your predictions anymore. But I believe that the mainstream media, and particularly the left, has fallen for its own bullshit. And I think we're in a very, very bad place. This is my read from South Africa. So just to tell you where I'm at, I was in Rome. Can everybody mute, please? I was in Rome in 2017, after Trump was elected. And there were all these guys in a boat. They were all kind of Brahmins from, you know, Yale. They were all old guys, but, you know, real establishment types. And we had a chat about Trump, and they were worried, seriously worried. So when they left, they I got to hold this together. when they left for America, they sailed for America. They gave me this book and they said, "I must read it." It's called On Tyranny. It's this guy called Timothy Snyder, and it says 20 Lessons for the 20th Century. So what this book was written for? It was written immediately. Immediately, I think, before Trump took office, but they knew he was going to take office, and it was written about Trump and saying clearly that we would come to this day. I had my doubts about it, but I don't anymore. So the thing I must read to you most is basically let me tell you who this guy is. So Timothy Snyder is Levine Professor of History at Yale University, and he's the author of quite a few of these books, but a Jewish guy. And you can see where he's coming from, because basically, he's a member of the Committee of Conscience from the United States Holocaust Memorial. So I think the big thing that happened on Wednesday, here is where I start my interpretation. I don't interpret it as a riot or anything like the mainstream media is interpreting it. I think it was quite well orchestrated. In fact, very well orchestrated. It was actually quite a bit of theater. And the way I read it is it's a shot across the bows for Republicans. Basically, what Trump is doing is he's telling Republicans to fall in line. Okay, now, the chapter in this book says basically, number six says, like, be wary of paramilitaries. Women with guns have always claimed to be against the system, start wearing uniforms and marching with torches and pictures of a leader, the end is nigh. And then the guy who gave me this book underlined this and said,
so this is the part that I remember the most from this meeting, and of course I remember it because he almost couldn't keep it together, you know, as he says. And yeah, so he almost has an on-screen breakdown because he was so, what do you call that? Moved or triggered or shocked or something. So is that something you can relate to? Did you have a similar experience on that day?
You know, I wasn't really following it very much, but I definitely, I think, you just, you know, I definitely miss Hugh. I never miss an episode, but for some reason I couldn't remember this video. And it's unfortunate he's not with us today because there's so much more happening and so much more unraveling. And, you know, I came into, you know, the Doomer world through the environmental end of things, you know, and it's difficult to get support now, you know, from everyone. There's just this quiet, this scary, eerie quietness going on. And so it, you know, watching this video, I miss when there was more support for what, you know, for everything just unraveling right now. And it
yeah, you told me about it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like, but it could really pretty well be intended that way as well. It seems like everything is intended for every kind of group to dissolve and disintegrate, you know, over some small little thing, some small little disagreement over skin color or the stuff we have in our pants, you know, sex, gender, whatever. So it's like, or you disagree about something you saw on the news about a certain event, or, you know, people storming the capital in Brasilia or in Washington and are given two completely different accounts or narratives, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, let's talk more, but just you know, continue on in the video, and then we can, you know, return.
Sounds good.
When the pro-leader, they call him the pro-leader, they don't name him. When the pro-leader, paramilitary, and official police and military intermingle, the end has come. And he underlined that. So why am I so emotional? Is because that's what happened on Wednesday. And I think people have missed it. See, the script is all wrong. I'm sorry, I'm doing a kind of Greta here, but what's supposed to happen after Wednesday is all the chiefs of police and the military are supposed to take the podium, calm the country down. There's supposed to be a massive soothing. It hasn't happened. All the indications as I see them is that the police and the military are inside. It's an inside job. It was done by Trump, and Trump has control of them. They basically, it is a military coup, and I didn't believe it until Wednesday, but Trump is actually backed by the military. So the QAnon stuff, all the conspiracy stuff has gone, it's gone too far, and the left has not taken it seriously enough. It's exactly as Michael Moore says it. It's basically, you know, the Capitol building is just bristling with crowd control things, and the military, basically they have all, like, I've seen fucking microwave heat weapons and shit like that, right? There's no way a crowd can storm the Capitol. The fact that it happened means that it was inside job, and it means that the security staff in the Capitol were in on it. So it is exactly as you say, basically, the end is come. So my interpretation now is that the Congress has only one thing. Well, the easiest thing for them to do and the most immediate thing for them to do is to ask Pence to invoke Article 25. He would just basically, it's very quick and easy, basically he could do it with a vote from the cabinet and he would supersede him. The fact that that hasn't happened is very alarming. It means probably that it's not going to happen. It means that Pence wouldn't do it. So Pence seems to be taking a middle line. He wouldn't go with Trump and actually, you know, go against the count. So he punted that. but he must have also punted Pelosi asking him to basically invoke Article 25. So what that means is Congress has to go to impeachment. It looks like that's the route they're taking. That's the only legal avenue they have. It means they'll quickly have to have a vote in Congress to impeach. If they only need a majority vote to get that. So that's doable quickly. What happens next is not quick. And then the impeachment would go to the Senate and they'd have a trial. To actually impeach Trump, you would have to get 2/3 of the Senate. So you'd have to have a trial and get 2/3. I really don't see this happening quickly, and I really don't see it happening before the 20th. So I think what's happening is the left and the mainstream media are getting into this. They're falling for their own bullshit because they're thinking we just have to get to the 20th and we'll be fine. And that's not my read at all. What I see is that the more they're going after Trump, the more they're pushing him out on the ledge. So the more he gets cornered, the more dangerous he is. Now, Wednesday was a clear breach because that's clearly treason. So you have a sitting president committing treason. So that's a kind of a Rubicon that Trump can't come back from. There really is nowhere else for him to go but forward. He's exactly in the position of Macbeth. It's basically, you know, the quote in Macbeth where I'm so steeped in blood that as to return would be as tedious to go, which means it means going back now would have as worse consequences than going forward. And that's where Trump is now. He can't come back after this. He has knowingly put himself in this position. Basically, he's burnt his bridges, and he's put himself and everyone with him on dead ground. It's a strategy from Lao Tzu and the Art of War. It's basically, if you put your people on dead ground, they will make a fantastic stand. And that's what he's done. He's done that to himself. And what I can see from the things that I've seen that have been televised of him, he's actually enjoying himself now. So he's getting to a place where he's really in a very, very bad place for a psychopath to be. He's getting a high and feeling more alive and more confident the more extreme the situation gets. Now, I get the impression that it's a complete opposite with Pelosi and, you know, basically the politicians. They're running around like headless chickens and they are shit scared. So they're getting into a weaker and weaker position. I cannot see a scenario where Biden gets to the White House on the 20th.
So he has the military and the police.
Well, Biden did get to the White House. So, and, you know, it's easy for us. You know, hindsight is always 2020. And so it's obviously it's much easier for us to get things right and say correct things today, like over two years later. But I think, you know, he is speaking 4 days after the event, right? And I think he's getting some things right. He's getting right the fact that it was a very scaled down police or guard force, and it was an inside security job, he also says. But I think he's getting the what do you call that in English, the plus minus sign wrong, you know, for the equation, because I think it's you know, after the hearings in Congress this week and other leaks of some of the massive amounts of video taken that day that was top secret until recently. For instance, this horned guy, this what do you call him, the buffalo guy or the Viking or whatever you call him, he was clearly being you know, led into the right corridors and rooms and flanked by police who were not looking to arrest him. And he even had held a speech inside the Great Hall of Congress or whatever. I'm a Scandinavian. I don't know what these rooms in your buildings are called over there. I think what it looks more like today is that, okay, yes, it was an inside job. It was a scheduled event, what you call that, a schemed event, and somebody took advantage of it, like it is with almost everything in America, in politics anyway. But I think the scheming and planning guys and deep state guys in this case are the ones who have been censoring us throughout the pandemic. The sort of Biden Democrats, big tech, big media, deep state, CIA, FBI. You know, what I say now would have sounded totally like a crazy conspiracy guy just 2 years ago, right? But now we actually know through leaks and everything that this is the way it has worked. You know, CIA, FBI have just, and the Democrats have just sent emails with lists of people to censor on Facebook and Twitter and everything.
Yeah, those hearings have been interesting. The ones with Matt Taibbi, is that his? Yeah, Matt Taibbi and the other gentleman. Just how tough the Democrats are being on them. You know what I mean? And they're both, the one guy, he voted for Biden, and Taibbi didn't share, but he's more on the left. So that kind of scared me a little bit how tough the Democrats were being in the hearings. And it seems like, you know, I'm definitely on the left. But I find it interesting just with this whole Ukraine thing, how there seems to be an awakening on the right, because I remember during the Iraq war, I went to the war protests, and people who tended to be on the right were the ones that were giving us a hard time, you know? And with this war, it seems that the Democrats are really, you know, pushing for it and supporting it. And I find it, or just being so quiet about it. The whole thing's very strange. And I'm finding that there's an awakening on some folks on the right, on, you know, they're learning now how the world works, and that what the US empire and the West have collectively done around the world. And they're kind of starting to acknowledge all of that, which is interesting, because I would never have expected that awakening to come from the right.
They are kind of, the categories of left and right are kind of obsolete in many ways, you know?
True. That's true.
But I will say this, that almost everyone I am listening to and talking with and trusting these days are kind of anti-war people who used to be on the left, mm-hmm. but who are now homeless. They can't be on the left because the left is just, you know, too far gone in a way. So I wouldn't call them, you know, like Salty Cracker is one of my favorite entertainment shows on YouTube. He's actually banned from YouTube now. So he's also gone from the left, and is now, he now calls himself MAGA, you know. Take it for mm-hmm. what it's worth, but he's got a great sense of humor anyway. And, you know, sometimes you just need to have a laugh and watch some entertainment, right? And I'm not afraid of being on the left or right. I don't care about it. I'm an anarchist. I care about, you know, ecology and the survival of nature. So, if you want to place me in a, what do you call it, pink nationalist box, go ahead, go right ahead. I don't care. My skin is pink. I can't change it. And it's actually lethal and very dangerous to try to change all your skin, at least if you do it all at a time. Nobody has actually tried. And those who they're experimented on, like, you know, people who were caught in wars and slaves and stuff, who were skinned alive, they died. So I'm not going to go down that road and get skinned just because you don't like how I was born. So that's kind of my position on people saying I'm too pink or something, you know.
Yeah. Chris Hedges has been, you know, criticizing, just saying that there's no more left anymore in the U.S., and that it's the left has become all about boutique. What does he call it? Boutique activism, instead of really confronting real power, you know, like the military industrial complex, and, you know, just really the people who really control and you know, the censorship, all the tech companies and et cetera, and the income inequality. So yeah, they go for,
What?
Oh, it says my microphone. Something's wrong with my microphone. So
no, nothing. It's okay.
Oh, okay.
I hear.
Yeah. So there's luckily now there. I'm hearing more people on the left, but I'm with you on it. Really, right now, you know, I think that civilization, this industrial civilization, is collapsing. And I mean, I think we see it a little different. I see it more right now because we're running out of the cheap fossil fuels that have fueled this civilization for the last 200 years. We're having to go deeper for it, and it's costlier. And I think Gail Tverberg and Richard Heinberg are really good sources for, especially Gail Tverberg. She really delves into the details of you know, in her website, Our Finite World. And she brings in the work of, God, what is his name? He's an opinion leader. He writes about the rise and fall of civilizations. His name is not coming to me, but she'll talk about his work, like on, and then she'll bring in examples, you know, that are happening today that are relatable. So it's really interesting to follow that. But, you know, we can't, there's nothing we can do. We just have to accept what's happening, and we're going to, you know, we're going to burn every piece of fossil fuel we can. So
most likely, yeah.
Yeah.
Should we play on a bit, perhaps?
And then... Sure, yeah.
Think he's got them in his pocket, but they're not siding with Pence. And
Pence is sitting on the fence. Pence is trying to, and my interpretation is Pence is sitting on the fence. So basically what there must be turmoil all over the Capitol and the Pentagon. There must be a divide. But what's stunning about Wednesday is that they had all the advanced knowledge. It means that, okay, now that there is a deep state. Okay, so first of all you fucking leftist little shithead cunts that wouldn't even believe in conspiracy theory, there's a fucking conspiracy theory and there's a fucking deep state. It's the right wing, you fucking idiots. Let's call them the deep state. The deep state is not left-wing, liberal, blah, 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 deep state. Not that one. There is a deep state. It's the QAnon guys. It's all these guys that have been doing all of this shit for a long time. So let's just call it the fucking deep state, because the deep state is about to take power. The right-wing deep state exists. They fucking, every time I hear fucking liberals talk about conspiracy theory, I want to fucking bash their heads in, because it's always been a fucking conspiracy theory, you numbskull, dipshit, you know, complacent idiots. The deep state is basically moving now. I didn't realize they were that strong. I talk to liberal guys. I have inside, well, any contact I have of information and stuff are liberal guys.
Yeah, I have to agree here, because I think what's going on is the military-industrial complex is doing in the United States what it's done in other countries for hundreds of years now.
Yeah.
It's overthrowing the democracy and installing a fascist dictatorship.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, this is what's happened is that the soldiers have come home. So America has been doing these kind of operations all over the world. And the reason why you don't do them is because eventually they do it to you. All those guys are well practiced at this game. You see, that, you know, the guy with the horns and all of that, it's show business. They put that shit on. It's planned.
So, yeah, I think that is a good, it's a valid point that it's, you know, whatever America has been doing abroad, that is now coming home, just like you said, and they also picks up on the fact that the shaman guy, the horned guy, was part of a show, but you know, he has kind of the wrong interpretation of who directed the show. I think that's fair to say. So basically, America has been changing elected governments I don't like all over the world. And one of my very first epiphanies reading literature, reading a novel was by a Norwegian author, and he focused on the Amazon and the different countries and the regimes there. And I was just so triggered, provoked by the fact that America just goes in and says, "Oh, we don't like the guy you chose, you elected here, or the female president you elected in this country. So we would just simply pay somebody to shoot her, you know." And it's, you know, when you're a teenager and read something like that, it's so fucking provoking or triggering, because at least in Scandinavia, we like to think that the world is peaceful, everything is ordered, and if you're just a good guy or a good girl, you will go far, you know.
Yeah.
Goodbye to the naivete, I guess.
Yeah. Did you hear some massive news in the last few days? The first was that China brokered a deal between Iran and Saudi Arabia, which will pretty much... basically, I think this is the beginning of China basically taking over, breaking the unipolar world of the U.S. This could be a turning point. I don't know how much time, with the climate situation has become so extreme. Who knows, how much time there is. And also, we're running out of the cheap fossil fuels to run our current way of living. So I don't know how long that's going to last for, but that was huge in the news. It's news you have to look for, because you're not going to find it in mainstream news. So I'm wondering how, what's going to happen with the deep state, like you were describing, and, how is this going to, it's a very, there's a lot of anxiety right now because there's just so many unknowns. And another piece of big news was a major bank here called Silicon Valley Bank.
Yeah. I heard, yeah.
Collapsed. And this, I think it's like one of the, the top 15, a very important bank that caters to Silicon Valley, which is doing a lot of layoffs right now. A lot of layoffs are happening with white collar workers, because Gail Ferberg describes in her recent piece that fossil fuel, to this civilization has become very complex. And fossil fuel, because we're running out of it, it's the complexity is collapsing, because complexity needs a lot of cheap fossil fuels. Yeah. And so that would make sense why this happened to this bank, because this bank caters to like the startups, technical and biotech, I believe, as well. And so these are areas that are not needed anymore, because we're having to simplify so it's going to be interesting to see how it all happened. This is why it's scary and fascinating at the same time, because
absolutely. I call these on some of these podcast platforms, when you're a podcaster, when you are a creator, you have to choose the category. So I chose the category true crime for these Extinction Alpha pods. I think that's a good description. given the limited choice that there was, it's kind of, as you say, it's very, very disconcerting and frightening and all of that thing. But it also very, exciting in a way to think about how it's going to play out. And there's a reason that every mythology from the Norse Viking mythology with the Ragnarok and to the Christian and Asian ones and stuff, everybody has an end time, how everything goes down, how the apocalypse plays out. The Ragnarok in the Nordic countries and Germany is not the only one. But that is kind of, even the opening music to this show today is about the final battle between the serpent and Thor, you know, in the Norse mythology. I think it's very interesting. You talked about how the deep state is going to evolve and who is going to direct it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, you know, we can't answer, we are normal people, we can't answer these questions. But what we can talk about is what we would like. And for mm-hmm. instance, for me as a non-American, I would like America to uphold its free speech and its open society thing, right? Especially because every kind of media and digital platform in the world is kind of run from or through America. So if we are going to, like Sid Smith says, enjoy the collapse, enjoy the end of the world, yeah, mm-hmm. I would like to do that on open platforms where you are allowed to voice your opinion and to, you know, hang out with other great people and not be everybody locked down in their homes and it's not allowed to talk to your friends even because you or your friends might say some nasty word or whatever, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I think what's hard is just, I'm feeling that even in the Doomer community, people are really closing themselves off more and more. And, or maybe it's just because it's, you know, we're in the Northern Hemisphere, we're just getting out of winter. So maybe that's a little bit of it too. But yeah, it's things are getting frightening. And I think the most difficult part is just trying, you know, is a support system of people who, you know, see reality. And I think I'm just so intrigued by the Democrats and how they are. You know, they're not opposing what's, you know, sending more money to Ukraine as I thought they would be. And I think that has a lot to do with some of the stuff I've read on the human brain. And I'm going to just go grab two books and I'll just show you the titles. Hold on one sec.
Yeah, I will play some more video in the meantime.
Long in advance, and it's orchestrated to a level you wouldn't fucking believe. But this has always been done to foreign countries. Now, what happens if you do it once too many times in foreign countries? The guys get good at it. At some stage, they're going to do it on the home territory, and that's what's happening before our eyes. So I didn't realize that. I thought that basically there was an even split, and, you know, the good guys in the Pentagon and stuff have things under control and stuff. But you see, what has clearly happened is the FBI stood down. There've been something like 80 arrests. It's 80 arrests is a token arrest. It's basically, it's so half-hearted that it essentially means that it's simply sending a signal to other paramilitaries that you can take to the streets with impunity. The lack of response to Wednesday is a clear signal saying, come down to Washington, basically, it's exactly as Moore says. So basically, on the 17th, guys, 17th of fucking January, if anybody fucking listen to this thing, 17th of fucking January, they are beginning an armed march on the Capitol. Okay. This is your last fucking chance. What's likely to happen, in my view, is that the House has to start a legal process. That legal process moves slowly. The paramilitaries and the deep state can move faster. So they will outpace them. What they're liable to do is to cause unrest. Unrest gives, and I know all the script from South Africa. This is a very old script. It's not even from South Africa. This script is as old as tyrants. Basically, that insurrection, this is out of Hitler's playbook. This is what Hitler did after the Reichstag fire. They cause mayhem this week that allows Trump to declare martial law. After martial law, that's it. That's game over for basically. I know liberals around here that are saying, I can't wait until the 20th because then this will all be over and Trump will be frog marched out of the White House. I'm saying Trump does not look to me like he's going to be out of the White House. I would think it's far more likely that Biden gets arrested. If you gave me odds of, you know, come the 21st, is it Trump arrested or Biden? I'd say, fuck, it's Biden. And the left is not getting it. Basically, the liberals are so comfortable and have their heads so far up their ass that they're not seeing that basically it's Biden that's going to get arrested. See, what happens after Trump declares martial law is he has to have a crackdown. There has to be a night of the long night. And everybody that's on that list will have to basically go to bed tonight and think, where are you on Trump's list? But obviously, number one is like Hillary and Biden and all these guys, right? Biden's cabinet, all these guys he's put together, they're basically the top of Trump's hit list. He has to go and round them up. After you declare martial law, basically, he has two arrows in his quiver. COVID, he can declare lockdown. So he would declare lockdown, and basically he's in legally fantastic territory. This is a trifecta of basically defeat. Because he can safely call a lockdown for health reasons, declare martial law because of insurrection and basically riots on the street, and then he can start arresting people, and no one can do anything about it. There'll be mayhem, basically, but it'll be too late. By the time, you know, NFAC and BLM and anarchists and Antifa get on the streets, it's too late. Basically, get this. I've been telling everybody for fucking years, about, I'm trying to warn about this day, because you had a window where you could do all sorts of shit, but nobody did it because they were too fucking comfortable. Nobody heard, nobody listened to it. So when Trump declares martial law, there's going to be blood on the streets. I'll tell you why. Because they're not up to where we're at. The left thinks it's going to be Black Lives Matter and it's going to be, we're going to take to the streets and protest. Not after martial law, you're not. After martial law, they're looking for an excuse to do Tiananmen Square. They're looking for blood. You think all these guys will go out, Michael Moore will go out and he'll say, oh, you know, but you must be peaceful and wear a mask and stuff. And basically, they don't realize they're walking into the machine guns. Once you've declared martial law, you have to have blood. Because otherwise, what happens next? Otherwise, basically, if you're emboldened.
Yeah, so actually, the funny thing, or not funny, but the interesting thing is that there was a very important, crucial, and key shift that started around the Jan 6 thing. Because, mm-hmm. You know, as we remember, they kicked Trump out of Twitter, and they really amped up their censorship. You know, the censorship industrial complex, as Matt Taibbi mm-hmm. calls it.
I remember that. Yeah.
In Congress, what they did was they went straight from Trump and censoring election denial, as they called it, doubt about whether the election was done right or not. And then they went straight into COVID skepticism or COVID vaccine skepticism censorship, which was probably their main target, their main goal in starting the whole big censorship offensive, right? So this is sort of the Twitter files 2022 and 2023. It's been going on for months now, and it's going to be just more. And Congress is now divided, or the opposition party is in control, so they are actually holding hearings on this. Mm-hmm. So January 6th, I think, is kind of the opening salvo of the new totalitarianism, I think, which stems from America, but is spreading very fast to Europe and Scandinavia and all around the world, because, you know, if even America goes crazy totalitarian and fascist, then everybody will try to.
You know, I think we've always been in a totalitarian regime. However, it's just been masked because we've benefited from being living in the imperialist, getting all the fruits and getting all the riches of living in the imperial countries, you know, and we've exploited other countries to get, we basically have taken the wealth from other countries, and that includes Europe too, because we've kind of done it together, and Japan and Australia, and so we've been so distracted, you know, and we've been so comfortable. that now that, and this is, I think this is all, now there's, because we are running out of cheap fossil fuels, we're seeing a lot of turmoil. So I just think that this has all been masked from us from the last decades, but now those in power are not hiding themselves anymore. They're having a hard time doing it because we're not distracted. We're struggling. There's, just the economic situation is really bad. We're losing our standards of living. So we're awake, people are awakening to what's happening. So, I just think that, that it's just, we're now, everything is becoming transparent, Well, that's how I see it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of an unmasking, it goes hand in hand with the unmasking of the population after the pandemic, right? And I have to say about the pandemic, because it's probably because, if you grow up in a Scandinavian society, you kind of trust your authorities, you trust your health organizations. And I was completely taken aback in that way. It's like, I would call me in 2019, I would call me pretty much reality oriented. And I lost my childhood naivety in very many ways, like all the wars and all the using, the West using Arab terrorism as a piece on the chessboard, both against the Soviet Union and more recently. And I won't go into any details there, but I wasn't naive. I didn't have a rosy picture of the government. And then it was even worse, It was so much worse. So much worse than even I thought. And it's like, fuck yeah, fucking hell. What is this thing? So I think I agree with you. It's like, it's always been like this, but it's now that we can see it. It's now that the fog is lifting in kind of in many ways.
Yeah.
And so at the same time as the big tech and the big media is kind of having a very strict hold on information and trying to control absolutely everything, on the other platforms that have been freed or kept free or established as free, you can see everything, right? And it's making loads of people just completely crazy, and especially people who are waking up to it right now, right? If you have no prior experience with the government being mafioso shitbags, right, then how are you going to react now? So in that way, I'm glad I'm kind of oculated, is that a word we can use these days? I'm kind of oculated. Oh. I'm kind of vaccinated against being shocked by the government.
Oh, I know what you mean. What's that word?
Inoculated.
Inoculated, maybe. Yes. I should know, English. I learned English. I grew up learning English and Spanish at the same time. What you're saying is right, because, what I find really strange is, it's hard to find people that also can see how the world, try to understand how the world really runs, the importance of energy to the way we live, and also to understand the climate catastrophe. It's really hard to find support where to see all of that together. You know what I mean? It's either you have to go to people are just focused on climate, or just people are focused on geopolitics. And do you find it hard to find that person that can understand the climate catastrophe and then understand, or in the ecological catastrophe, and also understand how the world works.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of turbulence even in this group, you know, as you have most mm-hmm. likely noticed. I think, you know, what we may often forget is that the big sort of advantage or selling point, and the positive of this group, is exactly what you say. You know, it's like we're not naive about politics, we're not naive about energy or climate, and we're not so naive that we think that Joe Biden is going to save the planet, the ecology, you know. Mm-hmm. So being aware as a collective that we have something very special, which I think is, you know, this kind of, it makes us a target, you know. Some people don't want us to, you know, some institutions don't want us to be sort of enlightened in too many fields. That's why I think they kind of sing the song, gotta keep them separated, you know. They want to mm-hmm. separate, divide and conquer, and they don't want any geopolitics people to know about climate, and they want everybody on the right to say that climate is a hoax. I believe climate is a hoax, but I believe the climate policy is a hoax.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Since I was a teenager, it was a hoax because we had Gro Harlem Brundtland. Everybody in Norway was so proud and happy that we had a female prime minister. I didn't care she was female. I wasn't going to marry her anyway. The thing she did was to just derail completely. Maybe it had always been derailed, but she derailed completely climate policy from the truth of the climate, from the reality of the climate. You know, it's like she would talk all day about ecology and climate in her speeches and on TV, and then she would increase the volume of pumped oil and gas in the North Sea. You know, completely detached from reality, right? And lying. Sorry,
yeah, I mean, I'll follow a lot of these people like who are following geopolitics now, like it's an awakening in the people who are following geopolitics, but nothing, they don't mention overshoot, you know, growth on an infinite planet. They don't mention even, I mean, you know, they and there's unity between the right and the left. I mean, the right and the left, they get together on YouTubes, and which is nice to see that, you know what I mean? However, they still do not discuss such the elephant in the room, which is overshoot, the climate catastrophe. And I don't know if it's just too scary for them. Probably it was just too scary.
I think there can be many things. One of the most usual things in our society these days is that everybody is so specialized. You know, it's the same mm-hmm. with the medicine or science and stuff. And I, you know, over 30 years now, I've followed all kinds of lectures about climate and stuff, and people, scientists discussing, arguing back and forth. And in many, many cases, it is a case of this guy, this scientist, he only knows about cloud tops. Mm-hmm. You know, the top of clouds. It's the only thing he understands. But he still goes into the debate and says, no, you are all wrong. The cloud tops, you know, in this and that. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the same thing because in our day and age, it's not just one thing that is wrong about the world, right? So everybody has to kind of go down into a rabbit hole, or, you know, let's say they have to kind of invest time and research and stuff into some specialized thing. But I think to a large degree, it's a divide and conquer strategy. that you have authorities, the governments, the bad people in the world, the evil people. They want to go in and surgically cut ties between people who would otherwise be great together, right?
Yeah, but what's interesting though that I've even heard some YouTubers who are even that I respect, you know, on the left, particularly on the left, I've even heard them start to question the climate. The climate thing. I mean, they are getting a sense something suspicious about the greenwashing. That yes, but yeah. You know, they have been questioning the whole COVID thing. However, I almost feel as if they're trying to think that climate might also be exaggerated. You know. And that's a worry, you know. I mean, well, it's not a worry. I mean, it's like there's no, you know. I'm to the point now. I'm just sitting here and watching everything just, you know, collapse pretty much. But but you know, it's frustrating because if they're able to see so, you know, if they're able to see through things, you know, so clearly, and they can't see the climate situation, which is so obvious now everywhere. You know what I mean? That kind of me, like I lose kind of, they lose credibility, you know, I lose trust in them in a way, in a even though I trust their judgment on all the other things. I mean, the fact that they're not talking about the climate in, you know,
it's kind of understandable because you know, take yourself or myself, you know, like if you're talking about the musical instrument ukulele, I know nothing about it, right? I know it's an instrument. That's about it, right? I think it has strings. So we're talking about the side view of people. You know, can you see perfectly on your side, on your left side, on the right side? Mostly you can't. And for very many people, climate is just kind of a side view thing, where you have limited vision. And the thing is that as I tried to say about the climate policy is the thing that people see, you know, people who don't study climate, they see Greta Thunberg and obviously Extinction Rebellion, and then they see AOC and Biden. And Ursula von der Leyen in the European Union, who has a new Green Deal industrial plan for the climate and the ecology. So what they see is climate policy, which is actually completely bad, completely garbage, even viewed from our side, from the deep ecology side. It's crap. It's absolute crap. And if you see it from the more climate naive right in politics, it's another tax, and it is another tax. So they're right about it, I totally understand your anxiety about climate being put in the same basket as COVID. It's not the same, but that is kind of the gameplay from the government and from these deep state, divide and conquer people. They want everybody to distrust everything from the media, basically, as you also said, I've also found out over the past years, 1 or 2 years, that I don't care if people believe in climate. It doesn't matter because if we understand the world and the planet this way, then the planet is going to clean up house herself anyway. So Gaia is going to just sweep over everything and flood everything like California next week, right? And burn down all the forests and cities. Just going to go medieval or Old Testament on us, right? Completely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's not up for vote. There is not a referendum. Sorry, guys. So therefore, I don't care and I don't worry. And I think it's also the fact that we don't need the votes for this is also, I think, a potential way to forge bonds with people on both the left and right. Because you don't have to convince anyone about the climate and what is going to go down. That's like something that is coming, that's sort of in the pipe, right?
It's already here. I mean, I read updates from someone in our, you know, in some of our groups, and they're just so, I mean, wow. It's really escalating, you know, like the droughts, especially the what's so concerning is just how much hotter it's getting fast.
You were saying, I'm sorry.
Oh yeah. I'm going to have to get going, but this was a lot of fun. It's been therapeutic because things are just, it's like what you least expect is, I mean, things are just really getting crazy. I mean, it would be fascinating if I wish Lord Hugh were still here to analyze all this stuff. I definitely miss, has he been gone for 2 years now, or has it been 2 years or 1 year?
No, it's only been like 13 months.
Oh, 13 months. Since, okay. Since yeah.
So, but we will absolutely, be thrilled to have you back on. And
oh, for sure.
Of course, other people in the groups, you know, both on Discord and Facebook and followers on the Twitter, Extinction Alfie. This meeting has always been free for everybody. It even says so on the meeting information. So don't be shy. You can come here. You can make stir up trouble. You can argue with us. You can argue against climate being a thing, or any kind of thing that you want to have a nice and civil conversation about. This is a lot of fun, and it's very interesting, and we are all good people, I believe.
Definitely. Definitely just trying to see things, not being afraid of seeing reality. I think that's, you know, what really is happening in front of us, and, you know, and not denying it, accepting what's happening, and, you know, yeah.
Absolutely.
So, okay. Well, thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. And I will just play the rest of the video with Lord Yu, because that's the closest we can get to Lord Yu. I'm sorry it's playing kind of fast. I'm not really sure what's happening on the other computer. Maybe it's both faster the way I render the video and faster in the browser I'm playing it. And something happened there. I'm not sure. But you are allowed to go, and I'm going to switch over, and please tell all the people about this show and send them the link, and then maybe we'll have 4 people next week or something, right?
Perfect. Okay, well, thank you so much. Take care.
Bye.
Take care, Torstein. Bye. Okay, bye-bye.
More and more people will come out into the streets. They're doing the exact thing now that the Democrats are fucking up. You see, because nobody's done anything about, effectively anything about Wednesday, it's a clear signal to every fucking paramilitary right-wing fuckhead in the country is you're safe to come out on the streets. That's why they did it. It's a test run for the real thing. And all these liberals and the mainstream media, they think, oh, it's a riot on the Hill. It's not. It's a test run for the main fucking event, you stupid fuckheads. And because basically the FBI, all these guys, they haven't prosecuted anybody. 80 guys and stuff is a token thing. It's a signal, a loud signal saying, come on out, dudes. It's safe. Bring your weapons. And now, so imagine then now they all come out, right? The next thing that happens is it's no longer Occupy Wall Street and everybody sings Kumbaya and stuff, because they have to make sure that the left, anarchists and us, don't think it's safe to be out on the streets. They have to mow people down to get them back indoors. So they will, right? There's going to be blood. It has to be blood. The story always unfolds the same way because they have to get everybody scared and indoors. So you've, what I'm saying is the left and all of us have lost. The window's closed on us to do all those nice, peaceful things. And we fucked it up trying to be fucking nice and peaceful and nonviolent. We're going to get our comeuppance now. Because now that we didn't do enough in the window when we were privileged. So now, you know, this rhetoric that the left is saying is they're completely misunderstanding the situation. They're saying, again, they're saying in terms of, you know, basically race and things like that. They're saying, well, this is shows white privilege. Because if you were black, you couldn't do that and basically march up the stairs of the Capitol. Yeah, fuck it, you're not getting it. It's not because they're white. It's because the fucking military is compromised. It's because the security at the Capitol is compromised. It's not because of the color of your skin.
Yeah, I agree there. Like some of my liberal friends were thinking that the march on Washington was funny. And all that, oh, the white people are getting a taste of the place. It's like, no, dude, this is staged. This is fucking staged.
Yeah, it's staged.
Fuck.
So this is a fuck up of monumental proportions.
Is there anybody that you've heard saying the same thing to you, Hugh, out there that you know in the States or that you've heard around?
I've been struggling to keep up with the news because it's coming so fast. But I'm alarmed at the fact that people are not seeing it this way.
So you
must balance the fact that maybe I've got totally unhinged on this score and that I'm completely misreading the situation. But I'm telling you how I see it. And the reason why I'm so confident to come out is because it's a convergence of a lot of things. So basically, I saw this day come in and for a long, long time. And it basically converges on this. So if I'm going off, I'm half cocked, then yeah, you'll soon find out. You'll find out this week if I'm going off.
No, but I was saying that because I mean the sort of message that you're giving there is good to share and to broadcast. I mean, this is by any means, whether you're right or wrong. And you know, I was just wondering if there was anybody or any echo, or any platform, or anything that has any little bit.
No, I'm stunned. I'm stunned to the point of a conspiracy. I mean, when I look at this, I think, fuck it, I've gone over the edge. Because I'm looking at it and I think, you know, surely this can't be that big a conspiracy. And what I mean is I'm going on all these places looking for saying, surely guys are getting this. So I'm going on subs like Our Anarchism and stuff like that. And they're not getting it. They're like fucking liberals. They're basically not anarchists. They're just clueless fucking snowflakes who would wear black. And they're not getting it. On Our Anarchism, they're saying the same shit as they're saying on any other sub or in any other forum where they're saying, oh, you see, this wouldn't happen if they, you know, if they weren't white. See, this is why the country needs to change because of white privilege and stuff. You snowflakes need to shut that shit up.
Yeah, I mean, like
you're so out of touch. Yeah,
like I'm on several like, you know, like leftist, communist and anarchist discords. And it's the same shit. Just the funny memes coming in about, oh, the white people marched on Washington. It's like, dude, no. Oh, my God. I just don't understand.
This is exactly where I'm at. It's basically it's horrendous. That basically they have so misinterpreted this. But you see, it's the reason why I say like I get so conspiratorial is because I can't believe that the mainstream media is this fucking dumb. And when all these guys are out there, you know, I know the thing. It says never attribute the malice something that can be put down to stupidity. So I'm saying yeah, okay, I'll put it down to stupidity. But I really am challenged now with the FANG. You know, basically all the social media companies and that, and they're shutting everybody down. They're basically They're going through doing, you know, Section 230s on all these guys, picking them out one by one around the world. I mean, I don't think ExxonMed is going to survive this. I don't think we're going to survive the week with this sub. But see how it goes. I mean, there's a lot of spam. And that's the reason for all the spam, guys. It's because, you know, this day is coming. Is some guy in Eglin Air Force Base is tasked with looking at places like ExxonMed. And then basically he looks at it and does a threat assessment. And I think we've done quite a good job of showing him that we're just a fucking bunch of idiots. You'll look at it and go, say, well, these guys are crazy, and then say, they're farmers. Yeah. And I think that's basically where we're at. But what makes me really conspiratorial is if guys like Michael Moore and stuff, all the left-wing guys, it doesn't seem like they're being able to get the message out the rally because basically you know, there's such a prohibition against violence and stuff that we can't pull out the counter-revolutionaries. It's impossible.
Well, it's that. And a lot of these people that are in the mainstream, that are on the left, don't have the radical analysis. They don't understand how the state works, how tyranny works, how power works, how psychopathy works. They don't have that deep intellectual understanding of what's going on, how this shit works.
Yeah. They don't understand that these things are all engineered. They can't believe that. They think, you know, everybody's nice and there's no little man behind the curtain. And so then they can't see the little man at work. And they look at this and they look at it as if it's spontaneous. And they say, oh, these guys are a bunch of hooligans. Say, no, they're a bunch of actors. You got to ask yourself, who's directing them?
Yeah, it's like the man behind the curtain has a poker face in his cards. He's not going to play it until he knows he can win.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's disturbing. I must read you at least one more page out of this on tyranny, because I really believe if we get through to the 20th without a tyrant one way or another, it'll be amazing. I think where this all ends up is in the opening intro of my first video, in episode one, I put exactly how I thought it would end up. Now, the reason, you go and watch it, but that intro I put together because of my contacts, ex-CIA, the ex-CIA guys that told me. We had these discussions of what happens with Trump, and what I was told, and now I'm kicking myself because they all fucking left, leaving guys. I was reassured that don't worry, this all gets handled. This all gets handled politically. All the forces are moving. This is all going to be handled democratically, and it'll be done through normal democratic processes. He's going to be impeached. Basically, the left's going to win the House, and I was assured of all of this shit. So I said, I don't believe it's going to happen. I don't believe he's going to get impeached. I don't, you know, basically the House is not going to spread. You know as well as I do that the elections get hacked. And so I said, I don't believe the scenario. I said, what happens when all this shit fails? And then they said, well, look, there's a plan in place for that too. And I pushed and pushed and pushed. And I said, what is the plan? Is it the normal one that, like, you know, Kennedy plan? And he said, yes. And so I said, basically, okay, give me the details. Is how's it done? Is it done it like a De Gaulle, you know? Are we going to do a little, you know, idea? And I said, no, it's already in plan. How it works is that basically, he says, I can't give you the details, but I said, well, how does it work? Because if you take out the first one, Pence could be worse. And I was told, yeah, Pence is probably worse, but the plan is take them both down at the same time and Pelosi takes control. So I said, okay, how the fuck do you do that? That is something, a real magnificent trick to pull off. And so, well, basically I said, do you do it like De Gaulle? You know, basically De Gaulle had fucking 74, I can't remember, but almost 100 assassination attempts. It was, some of you would know. How many attempts did De Gaulle have in his life? Oh, you're muted.
No, I don't know how many, but there was a lot. Yeah.
A lot. 74, you know, it's like, yeah, movies are like the Day of the Jackal. It's very, very hard. It's very, very hard to take a guy. But a lot of the ones to take out De Gaulle were bombs. They used a lot of bombs over the roads, you know.
Yeah.
But it's exceptionally difficult to take one of these guys out. You can do it with a drone or something, that's really easy. But, you know, to actually do it in a liberal democracy, so I didn't raise. So I said, what's the plan? And I said, well, I can't tell you. But I said, okay, did the usual thing where I say, just guess, take it. If you read my book, you know, what you do, say, I'll give you some scenarios. And it's the drinking game. And if I get the right one, take a sip of your drink. And basically I said, okay, from a distance, Full Metal Jacket, and took a drink. So then based on that, I put that in the first, on the strength of that, I put it in the first video, because I thought, well, one of two things happens. Either my source is all full of shit, in which case, you know, no, I'm done. I just got a crazy intro. But otherwise, if he turns out to be right, then the intro to my video sounds like genius. You know, like how did you predict that? So I thought it was safe to put it in and go and have a look at it. But that's what I believe Trump's heading for. It's just a question of how quickly. I don't believe it. You can put together something that quick. So I wouldn't expect that this week. I don't believe that the plans for that, I mean, I'm not in touch with this, but I get no hint that the plans for that kind of thing are very advanced. So what I anticipate is that Trump's liable to, if it all pans out the way I think it would be, it's Trump's liable to declare martial law, and then a slow insurrection starts. So basically a slow burn insurrection. So basically they have to clear the streets and send a strong message that you don't do Occupy Wall Street, those days are over. And the police want revenge, right? You see, everybody's so focused on Floyd and stuff like that, they forget that those fuckers want revenge. They hate the public. They hate the public. And they've got scores to settle. And the guys in the police have been so restrained all over Seattle, all these guys, they've been spat in the face. They had to take it and take it and take it. And they are at their limit. And I'm telling you, they want to let loose on a crowd. They are dying to let a crowd taste lead. They've had to be restrained for so long. And the liberal left has not noticed it because they're so in with their own shit and priest brutality. They haven't thought of what it's like to be a policeman. The police want revenge. And basically, they're going to be allowed to do it as soon as there's martial law. So basically, you're in deep, deep shit. Okay, so here's this chapter, you know, 18. There's advice from this book on turning 18. Be calm when the unthinkable arrives. And this is where I think we're at. And if I'm completely full of shit, well, it's out here on video, and you can always go back and say, you, do you remember that Sunday the 10th when you spouted all that shit that never happened? It's like, shut the fuck up. And I've got mea culpa, dude. I'm sorry. I am full of shit. I'll never open my mouth again. But I'm telling you the way I read it, because I've got nothing to gain. It's just like, I just need to put this out to you because it's just so damn serious. Anyway, so it says, be calm when the unthinkable arrives. Modern tyranny is terror management. When the terrorist attack comes, remember that I'll read this again. Modern tyranny is terror management. When the terrorist attack comes, now this is what happened on Wednesday. This is what they were anticipating in 2017, the guys who gave me this book. Remember that authoritarians exploit such events in order to consolidate power. And I think that's what we're going to see next, right? we're going to see a deliberate mayhem on the streets and chaos that gives Trump the excuse to consolidate power in the interests of restoring law and order. The sudden disaster that requires the end of checks and balances, which is here, the dissolution of opposition parties, the suspension of freedom of expression, the right to a fair trial, and so on, is the oldest trick in the Hitlerian book. Do not fall for it. Well, I'm afraid everybody's going to fall for it. There's no ways that where we're at psychologically, the all the bullshit, the self-delusion and stuff means that everybody is going to go with this. The left is liable to go out on the streets and stuff. They just haven't done their history. And now comes basically the exam. And I'm telling you that this crowd is going to flunk the exam. So the Reichstag fire was the moment when Hitler's government, which came to power mainly through democratic means, became the menacingly permanent Nazi regime. So I think Wednesday has a, if it's not the Reichstag fire, the Reichstag fire is coming this week. It is the archetype of terror management. Okay, and that's where I think we're at.
I think it was Scott Adams who called January 6th the a day that will live in hyperbole. I think that's pretty funny. He's trying to get Tucker Carlson to start calling it the day that we live in hyperbole.
So, yeah, what I would recommend if you left wing wondering what the hell to do, or if you like Occupy or an anarchist or something like that, is now I've got to be really, really careful. Okay, there's not a lot, think it through. There's not a lot of upside to going down to Washington, right? We're outgunned, we're outprepared. It would play to Trump, right? Basically, the more they're spectaculars on the streets in Washington, the more it plays into his hands and gives him the right to assume law and order. I don't think anybody can rely. I mean, given the fact that it looks like security is compromised, I don't think anybody can rely on the cavalry coming in. I don't think I was misled. The guys that I talked to are not as powerful as I thought. We're not seeing a response from the FBI. We saw the head of security was fired, head of security for the Capitol. That's just a token thing, because basically they have to do that because he was clearly in on it. But according to Michael Moore, they're basically one-fifth of the staff on a crucial day when security was probably at the most the Capitol is at the pace, they sent four-fifths of the security staff home. So that means the government is thoroughly, thoroughly compromised. So there's no cavalry. So what to do about it? Well,
why did they send them home? They sent them. They sent four-fifths of the staff on Wednesday home.
Yeah, have a look at Michael Moore's video.
Michael Moore gives me a headache, so I don't go to the end usually of his thing. I don't know why. Listen to all that.
But according to him, I imagine he's pretty well informed by the grapevine. Is that he says that they were understaffed by four-fifths. It was a put-up job. If all of these things are true, it's a complete put-up job. It was a coup from the inside, and the left wing. You see, this is why I get conspiratorial, because if they're shutting down opposition and they're shutting down the,
they understaffed the guards on purpose, and as I understand it anyway, the people in charge of security at the Capitol. There on the opposite party of Donald Trump. So for whatever reason, they understaffed the security. And I think we get a pretty good picture of what reasons those were, because it was the January 6th thing was going to be a big thing to be used in future propaganda, as we see these days. And it's like, yeah, as Scott Adams says, it's kind of overdone, overused, exaggerated. That's the hyperbole hashtag.
Calls for the left to rally. It means that it's possible that the mainstream media are in on it. Basically, it means not particularly the media outlets, but the corporate media. So basically, it means that basically the multinational social media companies are in on it, on the wrong side. It's possible.
Because a double bluff.
What?
A double bluff in relation to the mainstream media.
Yeah, because that's kind of what I mean. You see, I have no basis of fact to say that, except you can imagine a scenario where they start banning people, shutting them down for hate speech and stuff like that. But it's a very subtle thing, because what they're doing is shutting down opposition to martial law. In effect, they're stopping basically the Paul Revere riding out and the troops coming in. So they're stopping counter-revolutionaries on the basis that, no, we're just stopping violence and hate speech and we're doing the right thing. So in doing the right thing, they can stop the public coming out against a compromised government. And I think that that is a very possible scenario that I'm not, the media I have grave doubts about, but I have no trust at all in the big multinational social media companies. If there is a big coup, if somebody says they're in it, it's like, well, fuck, there's no surprise. So I can well see a scenario where they start doing the first sweeps of the Kristallnacht, the Night of the Long Knives, and when they start at the top of the list and they start suppressing everybody, the very first things might look like good guys trying to do the right thing and just shutting down all the people that might oppose this. So that basically Michael Moore and stuff might go, you know, if Michael Moore gets shut down, if you see some trumped-up, fucked-up excuse that Michael Moore is taken offline, that's a very, very bad sign. Basically, anybody that's getting it, if they find some obscure fucking reason and they trump up something, like they take you down like Roger Hallam. Remember how Roger Hallam was taken down in Germany by Der Spiegel? They just went and Roger Hallam is a bit too much of a naif. He's not savvy enough. I mean, he's a fucking organic farmer. He's well out of his depth. And so Spiegel comes in. He doesn't know how this is how the game is played. And basically, he talks to a Spiegel reporter, and the Spiegel reporter has one aim: bring Roger Hallam down in Germany. Easiest pie. Basically, say, what do you think about the fucking Holocaust? Roger Hallam falls right into their trap, and then bam, Roger Hallam's out of Germany, out of XR. Just in one sentence. So if you see that happening, you see Michael Moore taken down that way. They see clear, obvious smear hits, you know, cancel culture comes in and takes off their heads, and you think, hey, but hang on, Michael Moore's a good guy. You know, it's like, no, now he's a bad guy. Basically, if you see that kind of thing, then you know that we're in big trouble from the deep conspiracy theory. But we're not there yet. They're taking down QAnon guys and stuff like that. So it's hopeless. I mean, that's closing the door before after the horse is bolted. But that's we have to see how that unfolds. But if I had to say what, if you like a concerned person that wants to do something now, I would say we kind of lost the battle for the capital already. It's basically it's two star-crossed at this stage to actually really go down to Washington. I imagine the kind of other scenario, which is, the other places, you know, other places, not Washington, right?
Yeah.
The other places you can go. You know, you remember Micah White? Does anybody remember Micah White?
No.
No.
Micah White started Occupy Wall Street. Wall Street.
Oh, right? Yes.
Yeah. And he was very close to the mother load. So imagine that this weird fucking scenario, that we had super intelligent people on the left and not fucking dipshits. And we had leadership on the left and all sorts of shit that basically has been flushed down the toilet of liberalism and fucking ID poll and just basically liberalism and egocentrism. Imagine this weird thing, this thing elsewhere. Let's imagine there's this planet elsewhere. And on this planet elsewhere, I'll tell you what happened. There's a story that came from the planet elsewhere. And what happened on elsewhere, if I remember this, is a weird situation like this unfolded. Now, all the white people went down to the Capitol to do a bit of theater. Now, all the other people, the black people, let's call them, they weren't dumb enough to go down there and create the scene that allows for martial law. They avoided the umphalos, right? They didn't go to the Capitol. They went to the nest of the beast. They went on this planet elsewhere to the commercial center, and they avoided these other pricks. You see, if you're seen to be black against white, they win. Trump wins. It's basically Charlottesville. It basically says, it's a race war. I need to help you guys out. You need me. I'm restoring law and order. Then basically it appeals to the middle class. What happened on elsewhere was they saw this kind of thing happening. So they said, okay, we'll do a bit of a party. We'll stay out of the path of the white guys, and we will go and take a rearguard action at the nest of the beast. Now this is a little bit different, because you've got, now it works to say on the media, look at the difference. If you're black, you get shot. Look what happens to the white guy. That's a different thing. See, if the black guys are all on the, at the head of the, you know, basically at the center of the beast, really taking bullets, and the other guys are basically being shown into the inner offices inside the Capitol building, everyone gets it. It's a fucking set up job. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, it does. Absolutely.
So that's what I would recommend, is we go back and do a little rerun of Michael White's plan. But now, cut the crap. Cut the bullshit. No more than Mr. Nice Guy, okay? That's not an option anymore. But now think it through. Imagine all these, let's call it our side on the planet elsewhere. Imagine that they are doing tit for tat
right in the belly of the beast with a bull. You know that, you know, right in the belly of the beast, we had a bull. It was a big brass bull, big horns, right there, stood right in the middle of the street. That place. If they did tit for tat, in that place, that's different. Because whatever they do in the other place, it squeezes the fucking our masters who actually live around that bull. It squeezes their nuts. And they're going to be on the phone saying, cut this crap, the markets are collapsing. Does that make any sense?
We have this perfect situation for what for your scenario is the COVID situation. And people are completely petrified of assembly.
Yeah.
And that is a big, I mean, on the game of chess, that is the...
Well, my view
yeah,
of it.
That's the biggest problem.
With the COVID thing, my view of it is if people are willing to wear masks and go shopping, they can wear masks and go, you know, on Planet
House. Think of that. So if that, basically, you in London, you're not allowed to wear a mask because, you know, the surveillance cameras in normal times. Now you have to wear a mask. Well, fuck, it really is a kind of a gift. If you go and get an anonymous mask now and basically you say you're obeying the law, it really is a gift. If you get over, so let's be sensible here. The pandemic is real. It's fucking brutal. So you got to take precautions, right? You've got to be seen to be taking precautions. Make it such that basically you say everyone on our side does, you know, security, and security, part of security culture is security against the virus.
Yeah, and another thing, a cut bullshit rallying call is, of course, with the pandemic, the nearly 400,000 have died is because, you know, the government wanted to keep business going. Well, simply they caused all the people to die because they wanted their money. So on elsewhere, let's go to the bull and squeeze their balls for revenge. That simple. Money over people. That's this whole fucking system. Money over people. So let's put people over money.
Yeah. Basically, as they put pressure on the capital, the bull gets its ball squeezed. Yeah.
But what is your read on how the Saint Elsewhere non-white denizens are interpreting everything that's going on? Like you said before, a lot of people are just saying, oh, look at that. You know, white people stormed the Capitol. Nothing was done. But if we're us, you know, it's only down to that level. I don't think there's any... I mean, I'm politically naive. I don't know how the non-white Saint Elsewhere denizens are looking at this. Is there even a consciousness about that the root of all evil is that golden bull?
There's not, but it's... Well, there isn't, there isn't. There's a general awareness that basically, well, yeah, it's probably even better than the white folk. But the strategy of going down and squeezing the bull is a big ask. Because, you see, what the black folk know is the police are shoot to kill. White folk don't know that yet. They're about to find that out.
Yeah.
Now, I think the black folk have an advantage because they don't have any shit in their brains. They don't have any leadership. But if the word goes out, dude, every time shit goes down in Washington, we squeeze the bull's balls, they'll get it fucking quick. So there's also basically, there's a lot of, you know, black people around the bull in the local environs that are basically a tube train away or walking away from that local environment where the bull is. So the word could quickly get out and spread that's the game plan. And then basically I think black people have an advantage because they know the game and they can measure it. You see, it becomes a game of seeing how far you can go before you take a bullet. They need provocation to open fire. And black guys are far more attuned to know when a cop is about to open fire than white people. White people are going to be fucking amazed. It's going to be, Princeton all over again. What was it? No, Berkeley. Basically, they're going to be shocked. Oh, you're on our side. You can't shoot us. That's what's going to happen to white people. Black people are going, dude, not only can they shoot you, they will.
Yeah, it's because...
Black people are ahead of the game in terms of psychology.
Yeah, it's because I think like most like upper working class people are, you know, completely naive to who the police really serve. It's like, it's not just white people, it's rich white people that the police protect, the rich fuckers, not them. Because the thing is with the liberals seeing the performance in Washington, it's like, where was I going with that? I lost my train of thought.
They think it's all ID poll and stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's where I was going at. I think it's all ID poll. Yeah, and it's not. No, the existence of class in this country has pretty much been completely erased. You know, class consciousness. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's the racism bit in ID poll, but there's no division between rich and poor because, like you said in your escape by getting rich video, Americans generally believe, oh, I'm going to be that guy someday.
Yeah, that viewpoint is going to be challenged.
yeah, for sure.
Well, guys, I've laid out exactly what I think, and now, put my cards on the table. You know, you'll get to see quickly whether I'm full of shit.
And now we're going to have nightmares for about 10 days.
So what I'm suggesting is the best cure for nightmares is to get out and do something.
Yes, I know.
It's like they channel all that energy into revenge. So there's so much opportunity. We've got all the skills. We know how to navigate social media without getting instantly shut down. We know how to dog whistle, getting people roused up. You got all the skills. You basically get your frustrations by going around the house and seeing what, you know, seeing if you can light a spark.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit too tiring to cross the Atlantic for me at this stage.
No. Everything's virtual. No, that's necessary. Everything's virtual. You see, stay, okay, for everybody else, if anybody sees this video, doesn't matter where you are in the world. This is the whole thing that I'm trying to be telling XR and stuff, is get off the streets. This is going to be fought in cyberspace. Basically, the state actors have been fighting in cyberspace for 2 decades. This war is first online. It'll eventually get to the streets. Well, I mean, it's going to get to the streets this week because basically the guys are going to learn, get a little learning experience. But after their little learning experience, there's going to be a freeze. And this is the scenario that I'm telling you from South Africa. Is basically, they're going to put a real chill on everything. What happens during that chill period is everybody gets over their shock and mortification. They suddenly get over the fact that there really are conspiracy theories and they're fucking in the middle of Auschwitz. And then they start basically planning. A few good salts who are egoless and fucking have a conscience, they start planning the resistance. And then it starts warming up slowly. But when that comes back, the streets will be empty. They have to start online. So we already know this game and we can start straight away online. We're not going to change the world. We're not going to intervene in this. This is kind of, you know, there's too much momentum behind this already. But we can hone our skills for what comes next.
Yeah, practice.
Yeah, this is a practice run for us. So, we'll be right back.